words of the inspired Apostle Paul. He says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier." Paul writes to his son in the gospel, Timothy, having left him in Ephesus to work with the church there, encourages him to be strong and encourages him to commit those things that he had heard among faithful witnesses of Paul, that is. Commit those things to faithful men so that they would be able to teach others also. And then he seems to give him some words of exhortation and also some words of warning him of what to expect. For he says this, endure hardness. Expect some hardness in this job that you have been left to do. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That's what I want to talk to us this evening about. Our lesson title, The Christian, a Soldier, or a Good Soldier for Christ. I want to underscore at the onset that he didn't just say be a soldier, but he said be a good soldier. You see, there's a soldier, and then there's a good soldier. I want to encourage all of us this evening to strive to be a good soldier for Jesus Christ. Our Lord himself, as well as the Apostle Paul, often use illustrations to teach a meaningful and a profound truth about a particular matter. And this is the case in our text that we've just shared and reading tonight. Paul uses an illustration to portray what the Christian life is expected to be like. Again, by mentioning this word hardness, would suggest that there are going to be some difficult times as you work for the Lord in Ephesus and as we work for the Lord here in Huntsville. There are going to be some difficult times. But in spite of the difficulty that may be involved, Paul wanted Timothy to know that he could still be victorious in living the Christian life. And we just sung the song, Living by Faith, and that's what it takes for us to be victorious. Much of Paul's writing was written from this viewpoint of a soldier. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 7, he talks about the idea of a soldier. You notice what he says? Who goeth to a warfare? That's the illustration or the imagery of a soldier. Who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges? In other words, no soldier, and Paul, the context of Paul's writing here is he is teaching these Corinthians that those who labored in the gospel was worthy of their hire, was worthy to be paid. So then he says, who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges? The soldier does not enter battle and pay for the goings on of the battle themselves. He doesn't pay for the armaments. He doesn't pay for his clothing. You know, he doesn't pay for that. Somebody else pays for that. So the idea then of a soldier is being expressed even in that text. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 3, Paul says over there, though we walk in the flesh, we do not what? War after the flesh. That's the imagery of a soldier. A soldier is trained to fight, as I'll talk about later on. Then in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 18, he uses another illustration of a soldier there. He says, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest do what? War. Fight. A good what? Warfare. A good battle. That's the imagery of a soldier. So again, we can see how Paul uses this figure of a soldier to imply that as Christians then, we need to have that mindset in us that we are to be good soldiers, good warriors, good fighters for Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12, he says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. And then on occasions, he would refer to some of his brethren, his companions in the gospel as fellow soldiers. Philemon verse 2, he referred to some brethren there and he called them fellow soldiers, fellow warriors. Philippians 2 and verse 25, he uses the same illustration of a soldier. So it seems then that Paul wanted us to learn from the characteristics of a soldier and apply these characteristics in our lives as he writes to Timothy. So again, he says, I want you, Timothy, to endure hardness as a good soldier, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Let's look briefly this evening at some characteristics of a good soldier, some characteristics of a good soldier. The very first characteristic of a good soldier is pointed out in our text tonight. Verse number 4, he says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. So a good soldier avoids entangling himself in the affairs of this life. The Roman soldier in the days of Paul had no activities that would interfere with his military life. You see, the word entangle comes from a word which literally means to be caught or to be tangled up. It's like a sheep who gets his wool caught in the thorns. A sheep has very thick wools. And if we can use it in this vernacular, it's nappy and kinky. And one could easily be caught in the thicket, in the thorns. And when it's caught in the thorns, then it impedes the progress of the sheep. He can't move freely. He's got to wrangle and tangle and all of that kind of thing, trying to get himself unstuck. And the shepherd would have to come many times and get him out of the thorns. Just as the sheep is impeded by his progress by being entangled, in the same way the Christian will be impeded in his or her progress for the Lord. So therefore, we as children of God, we must make sure that we do not entangle ourselves into the affairs of this life. Now, does that mean that we don't have anything to do with this life, that we don't have anything to do with the affairs of this life? Yes, but we must not allow these things to overtake us, to distract our attention from what we really are supposed to be all about. We are supposed to be about serving God and putting Him first in our lives. But when we allow other things to come in and entangle us, then it impedes our progress of doing the will of the Master. No wonder Paul was right to the Corinthian Christians in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Down about verse number 17, the earlier verses up around about 15 and on down, he had talked about not being unequally yoked. He had asked the question, what fellowship, you know, has righteousness with unrighteousness, communion, you know, with light, with darkness? No fellowship. Why? Because these things would impede the progress of a Christian. And so he says then down in verse 17, wherefore do what? Come out from among them and be ye what? Separate. He's saying virtually, come out from among them, have nothing to do with these unequal relationships, whatever they may be, because they will entangle you. They will, as the same thing with the sheep, they will trap you and get you tangled up so that you cannot do the will of the Master. So he says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Then he says, I will be a father unto you. You shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So a good soldier is very careful about entangling himself into the affairs of this life. He concentrates on what he has been assigned to do, and that is to serve his country and carry out the wishes of his country or the wishes of his commander that has been given to him. So then, a good soldier avoids entangling himself in the affairs of this life. Not only does that characterize a good soldier, but a good soldier, and any soldier for this matter, who is in the military, puts on a uniform. He doesn't go and become a part of the military, whether it be Air Force, whether it be Navy, whether it be Marines, whether it be Army, Coast Guard. He doesn't perform his duties in his civilian clothes. He has a uniform. While he's on duty, he's wearing a uniform. He does away with his civilian clothes. In the same manner, the Christian has a uniform to wear. And one thing that is a little different from the Christian and the ordinary soldier, there are times when the soldier will be off duty. He can go back and dress in his civvies then. But the Christian is never off duty. Therefore, when we put on the Christian uniform, we must keep it on at all times. The Christian then has taken off, or should have taken off, the clothes of the flesh. And he should have put on the new clothes of the Spirit, the new uniform. That's why Paul said in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 6, some familiar passages. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He says, God forbid. How can we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? We've taken off those clothes. Why going back putting on dead man clothes? We've taken those clothes off. Then he says, know you not? Don't you know? Don't you understand? He says, know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ was baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. We got on some new clothes. We got on a new uniform now. A good soldier then of Jesus Christ puts on the new uniform and keeps the new uniform on. Oh, when he wrote to the church at Colossae, He talked to them about some things that they needed to put to death in their lives. And then down about verse number 8 through 10, he says, but now you also put off all these anger. Put off that shirt of anger. Put off that pants or slacks of wrath or dress of wrath. Throw away those shoes of malice. Put off those belts of blasphemy. Goes on down the list. Filthy communication. Lie not one to another. Seeing that you have done what? Put off the old man with his deeds, or if I can say it, with his clothes. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So a good soldier wears a uniform. A good soldier of Christ wears a uniform. And that uniform is different from the old clothes that he used to wear. What else characterizes a good soldier? A good soldier trains rigorously. Much time is spent in learning how to be effective in the army. Some of the things he does, he gets up early. Sometimes stays up late at night. Sometimes they have what's called late night marches. Up late at night. Goes through many kinds of strenuous and vigorous exercises. He learns how to use his weapon correctly. He exercises much discipline. He's doing all of this so that he can be effective in the army. In the same manner then, a good soldier for Christ Jesus trains rigorously. He also, just like the soldier for the man's army, so to speak, must also exercise discipline. Paul talked about discipline in his life. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 27. He said this, he says, but I keep under my body and bring it unto subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself also should be a castaway. He disciplined himself. The things that he learned, that is Paul, the things that he learned from the Spirit of God. He taught those things to other folks also, but he also applied them to himself. A good soldier then, he learns these things, but he doesn't learn them just to teach them to somebody else. He learns them to apply them to himself. A good soldier for Christ Jesus exercises discipline. He develops the Christian graces, as we call them. Why? Because he's wanting to be ready to do the will of the master and eventually receive the crown at the end of life's journey. 2 Peter 1, verse 5 through 8, he says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge, he says, temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. When one exercises the discipline of these graces, it makes him the type of person that God wants him to be. When one exercises the disciplines in the army as a soldier, it makes him the type of soldier that his commanders want him to be. I said a good soldier also learns to use his armor effectively and correctly. Same thing about the soldier of Christ. We need to learn to use our armor effectively, our weapon effectively. Not just know what the weapon is. All of us know what the weapon is. But we need to learn how to use it effectively. Because we can have it and not use it effectively, and we'll turn around and do damage to ourselves. Just like, I don't know what they use in the army now. When I was there, it was the M16 that the soldiers carried. you don't use that thing right, you could turn around and hurt yourself. I've even seen people, when we were doing night firing, didn't use it correctly, and they almost killed themselves. We got to learn how to use the Word of God effectively. What does it mean to use the Word of God effectively? Learn how to rightly divide it. Learn what applies to us and in what situations. And, of course, it all applies to us, but we've got to learn how to rightly divide it so we'll know in the context that it applies. It's one thing to know the Scripture, but it's another thing to know how to apply it. Because, again, you can make the Scripture say almost anything you want it to say, but is it saying it correctly? So then we need to know our Bibles. And as we go out and as we are sharing the Word of God with people, if we don't know how to rightly divide the Word of God, we'll find ourselves getting trapped. Because it's not like it used to be a long time ago. Even though many people will not obey the gospel and become a member of the one true church, a lot of folks out there are studying their Bibles. And a lot of them know how to use it many times better than some of us use. We need to make sure that we know how to use the Word of God effectively. So Paul says to the Ephesian Christians, Ephesians chapter 6, you know the Scripture so well, I'm sure. Finally, my brethren, he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And then he goes on talking about who we're really fighting against. Then he says in verse number 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand, that you may be able to withstand, rather, in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Then he says, stand therefore, having your legs girt about, your loins girt about with what? Truth. Having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod, he says, with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you'll be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So a good soldier learns how to use his weapon in his training. He exercises discipline. He goes through strenuous exercises. He gets up early. Sometimes he stays up late at night. He's going through all of this so that he can be a good soldier. We need to be willing to go through whatever it takes to be a good soldier. But then something else about a good soldier. A good soldier submits to his commander. If he doesn't, you know what's going to happen. Article 15, I guess they still call them Article 15. Is that what they were calling Fred when you got out? Article 15, you have to do some hard time for disobeying your orders if you get in trouble. A good soldier submits to his commander. He follows orders exactly as they are given to him. The Christian also must submit to his commander. Who is the commander for the Christian? Jesus Christ is our commander. Jesus Christ is the one that gives the orders. That's why God said from heaven, when Peter wanted to build those three tabernacles, Matthew 17 and verse 5, he said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. He's the one to listen to. He's the one that gives you the orders. I need to say this also, that a good soldier, or a soldier, any soldier, don't make his own orders. They come from somewhere else. Many people in life go through life making their own rules. That's why we got so many churches, folks making their own rules. They don't listen to the commander in heaven. We need to listen to the commander. We must not deviate, go beyond, or even fall short of what the commander has said. 2 John 9 says, whosoever transgresses, whosoever misses the mark, whosoever deviates, whosoever transgresses, or whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the gospel or in the doctrine of Christ, has not God. when we do not follow the will of the master. We put our soul in jeopardy of being lost in hell. Peter said this in Acts chapter 3, verse 22 and 23. He says, "For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brother, like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things. Whatsoever he shall say unto you." He's saying, listen to the commander. "And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet, which will not hear that commander, which will not obey the rules that are passed down to him," he says, "shall be destroyed from among the people." Do we want to be destroyed? I don't want to be lost, do you? None of us want to be lost. So it would do us all good then to submit to our commander, Jesus Christ. A good soldier also suffers. Good soldiers endure much suffering. A good soldier goes out into the rain, goes out into the cold. When I was in, they say, "Soldiers, it doesn't rain in the army. It rain on the army. But it doesn't rain in the army," which means don't think you can run in out of the rain when the rain comes. You got to stay right. If you're marching, you stay right out there. If you're training, you stay right out there. A good soldier suffers the rain. He suffers the cold. He even suffers the extreme heat. The soldier in the army is separated many times from his family and from his loved ones. He goes through hardness even before he gets into battle. And certainly he suffers when he gets into battle. He suffers sometimes being wounded and even sometimes being killed. But he suffers also the anxiety, I'm sure, of the enemy's attack. In the Christian life, the Christian soldier also lives a life of suffering. It's not always a life of ease. Many times it'll be a life of suffering. Talking about being separated from family and loved ones. May not be separated from them by distance like the soldier is sometimes when he's deployed. But we can be separated from them by our beliefs and by our practices and sometimes even by our gathering together. Because oftentimes when they know that you don't go along with all of the hoopla that they'll go along with, they don't want to be around you. And you'd love to be around them if they didn't have all the hoopla going on. So from that standpoint, sometimes we suffer. We suffer sometimes because we have to take a stand for the master. After all, Jesus says he came to put difference between the mother and the daughter-in-law. Between the mother and the daughter. And then he even said, even them are your own household. We have to draw a line in the sand many times, and that can cause some mental suffering on our part. Sometimes even we may even get threatened. As I said this morning, that we're not threatened by the officials, per se, but sometimes we may be threatened by someone who though we knock on to try to share the gospel. Whatever the case is, there are times when we'll have to suffer. But you know what Paul said? When he was going back confirming the souls of the churches that he had established in various places, he said this on one occasion in Acts chapter 14 and verse 22. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to do what? Continue in the faith. And that we must through what? Much tribulation. He's talking about suffering. Through much suffering, enter into the kingdom of God. So there are times when the Christian has to suffer. So I'm saying to us again, be willing to suffer. After all, Peter says, let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a busybody or as a thief or a busybody in other men's matter. Yet if any man suffer as a what? Christian, Let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. So a good soldier of Jesus Christ has to endure suffering and will endure suffering. No wonder Paul said to Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And I want to tell us tonight that suffering has its rewards. It has its rewards. So if we can just hang in there, whatever suffering we have to go through, if we can just hang in there until the end, it has its reward. Peter said this in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, after he's talked about the devil. He says, be sober, be vigilant. Why, Peter? Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom, he said, resist steadfast in the faith. Knowing that the same afflictions or sufferings are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But then he says this. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that you have suffered a while. I want to say to us tonight, no matter what suffering we go through, if you say if it's real difficult, if it's not so difficult, it's only going to be a while. He says, but after you have suffered a while, then look what happens. Make you perfect. And if that won't get you into heaven, I don't know what will. Make you perfect. Establish, strengthen, settle you. So I'm saying to us tonight, let's keep hanging in there. No matter how we have to suffer, no matter how much hardness we have to endure, let's suffer because it's only for a while. After a while, it's going to make us perfect. It's going to make us what God wants us to be. We'll hear him say, well done. Lastly tonight, another characteristic of a soldier is that he fights the enemy. That's what they're trained for. I know that sometimes there are many of them that they don't hit the battlefield. I was blessed not to have to hit the battlefield. But there are many who hit the battlefield. So soldiers then fight the enemy. But even those who don't hit the literal battlefield, they are working in support of those that have to go out and face the enemy. So in that sense, everybody is fighting. So a good soldier then fights the enemy. The soldier engages in combat with the enemy. And the Christian has an enemy also. We know who that enemy is, don't we? It's the devil. We have a great fight, a great battle, rather, to wage against the devil. But we don't fight like the soldier in the man's army fight. We don't fight with guns and with missiles and with tanks and with all of these armaments. We don't fight with those. Paul says we do it another way. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not what? War. After the flesh. We're soldiers, yes. But we don't fight like the fleshly soldiers, if I can put it that way. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty. Through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. We fight with the word of God, and we fight with an obedient life to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I close with a question tonight. Are you a good soldier for Christ? Paul says to Timothy, therefore, I want you to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And don't go out here and entangling yourself into the affairs of this life, that you may please the one who has chosen you. Did you hear that? We've been chosen. Our God has chosen us in Christ Jesus. Are we thankful for the choice? I'm thankful tonight that God has chosen me in Christ Jesus. No, he didn't make me get on his team. I volunteered. But if he hadn't chosen me, I could run up and say it all I wanted to. God had to choose us. And he put that plan of choosing those who would willingly submit to him in place before the world began. That's wonderful. That's powerful. To be a member of the chosen team of God. So Paul says to Timothy, I want you to endure this hardness as a good soldier and don't entangle yourself in the affairs of this life so you can please the one that has chosen you as a good soldier. That says to me that if I don't do what God says, even though he chose me in his plan, in his scheme of things, before the foundation of the world, I'll never please him unless I do what he tells me. But we strive to please our God tonight by being a good soldier. A good soldier. Not just the soldiers, I started off saying. There is a soldier, and then there's a good soldier. We need to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Do you need to respond to the Lord tonight? Have you obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? We urge you to put your faith in him as the Son of, as the Son of God. Turn away from your sins. Make the good confession that you do believe that he is the Son of God. Then be baptized in water for the remission of sins. He'll add you to his church.